The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 11, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 3rd, 2010, in Riga, Latvia.
So, tonight we are blessed with Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This is His mercy. That He's giving us Bhagavad Gita as it is. Tonight we will read from the chapter number 9, text number 11. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Avajananti mam mudha.
Avajananti mam mudha.
Manushim tanumashritam. Parang bhavam ajananto. Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. Avajananti mam mudha. Manushim tanumashritam. Param bhavam ajananto. Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the supreme Lord of all that be. Purport. From the other explanations of the previous verses in this chapter, it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing like a human being, is not a common man. The personality of Godhead who conducts the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the complete cosmic manifestation cannot be a human being. Yet there are many foolish men who consider Krishna to be merely a powerful man and nothing more. Actually, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Sarvaparamaha Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord. There are many Ishvaras, controllers, and one appears greater than another. In the ordinary management of affairs in the material world, we find some official or director, and above him there is a secretary, and above him a minister, and above him a president. Each of them is a controller, but one is controlled by another. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that Krishna is the supreme controller. There are many controllers, undoubtedly, both in the material and spiritual worlds, but Krishna is the supreme controller. Ishvara, Ishvaraha, Paramaha, Krishna. And his body is Satchidananda, non-material. Material bodies cannot perform the wonderful acts described in previous verses. His body is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Although he is not a common man, the foolish deride him and consider him to be a man. His body is here called Manushim, because he is acting just like a man, a friend of Arjuna's, a politician involved in the battle of Kurukshetra. In so many ways, he is acting just like an ordinary man, but actually his body is Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal bliss and knowledge absolute. This is confirmed in the Vedic knowledge also, Satchidananda Rupaya Krishnaya. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the eternal blissful form of knowledge, Gopala Tapani, Upanishad 1.1. There are other descriptions in the Vedic language also. Tam ekam govindam. You are Govinda, the pleasure of the senses and the cows. Satchirananda vigraham. And your form is transcendental, full of knowledge, bliss, and eternality. Gopala Tapani Upanishad 1.38. Despite the transcendental qualities of Krishna's body, its full bliss and it is full bliss and knowledge. There are many so-called scholars and commentators of the Bhagavad Gita who deride Krishna as an ordinary man. The scholar may be born as an extraordinary man due to his previous good work, but this conception of Sri Krishna is due to a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, he is called Mudha. For only foolish persons consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being. The foolish consider Krishna as an ordinary human being because they do not know the confidential activities of the Supreme Lord and his different energies. They do not know that Krishna's body is a symbol of complete knowledge and bliss, that he is the proprietor of everything that be, and he can award liberation to anyone. Because they do not know that Krishna has so many transcendental qualifications, they deride him. Nor do they know that the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in this material world is a manifestation of his internal energy. He is the master of the material energy, as has been explained in several places, Mamamaya Dharajaya. He claims that the material energy, although very powerful, is under his control, and whoever surrenders unto him can get out of the control of this material energy. If a soul surrendered to Krishna can get out of the influence of material energy, then how can the Supreme Lord, who conducts the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the whole cosmic nature, have a material body? Like us. So this conception of Krishna is complete foolishness. Foolish persons, however, cannot conceive that the personality of Godhead Krishna, appearing just like an ordinary man, can be the controller of all the atoms and of the gigantic manifestation of the universal form. The biggest and the minutest are beyond their conception. So they cannot imagine that a form like that of a human being can simultaneously control the infinite and the minute. Actually, although he is controlling the infinite and the finite, he is apart from all this manifestation. It is clearly stated concerning his yogam maishvaram, his inconceivable transcendental energy, that he can control the infinite and the finite simultaneously, and that he can remain aloof from them, although the foolish cannot imagine how Krishna, who appears just like a human being, can control the infinite and the finite. Those who are pure devotees accept this, for they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they completely surrender to him and engage in Krishna consciousness, devotional service to the Lord. There are many controversies between the impersonalists and the personalists about the Lord's appearance as a human being, but if we consult Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the authoritative texts for understanding the science of Krishna, then we can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not an ordinary man, although he appeared on this earth as an ordinary human. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, when the sages headed by Shaunaka inquired about the activities of Krishna, they said, Krittavan kila karmani sahara mena keshava ati marjani bhagavan guddhakapatamanusha. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked he performed many superhuman acts. Bhagavatam 1.120. The Lord's appearance as a man bewilders the foolish. No human being could perform the wonderful acts that Krishna performed while he was present on this earth. When Krishna appeared before his father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, he appeared with four hands. But after the prayers of the parents, he transformed himself into an ordinary child. As stated in Bhagavatam 10.346, Babuva Prakrita Shishu. He became just like an ordinary child, an ordinary human being. Now here again it is indicated that the Lord's appearance as an ordinary human being is one of the features of his transcendental body. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also it is stated that Arjuna prayed to see Krishna's form of four hands, Tenaiva Rupena Chaturbhujena. After revealing this form, Krishna, when petitioned by Arjuna, again assumed his original human-like form, Manushanam Rupam. These different features of the Supreme Lord are certainly not those of an ordinary human being. Some of those who deride Krishna and who are infected with the Mayavadi philosophy quote the following verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-21 to prove that Krishna is just an ordinary man. Aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma vastita sada. The Supreme is present in every living entity. We should better take note of this particular verse from the Vaishnava Acharyas like Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, instead of following the interpretation of unauthorized persons who deride Krishna. Jiva Goswami, commenting on this verse, says that Krishna, in his plenary expansion as Paramatma, is situated in the moving and the non-moving entities of the Supersoul. So, any neophyte devotee who simply gives his attention to the Archamurti, the form of the Supreme Lord in the temple, and does not respect other living entities, is uselessly worshipping the form of the Lord in the temple. There are three stages of the devotees, three kinds of devotees of the Lord, and the neophyte is in the lowest stage. The neophyte devotee gives more attention to the deity in the temple than to other devotees. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur warns that this sort of mentality should be corrected. A devotee should see that because Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma, everybody is the embodiment or temple of the Supreme Lord. So as soon as one offers respect to the temple of the Lord, he should similarly properly respect each and every body in which the Paramatma dwells. Everyone should therefore be given proper respect and should not be neglected. There are also many impersonalists who deride temple worship. They say that since God is everywhere, why should one restrict himself to temple worship? But if God is everywhere, is he not in the temple or in the deity? Although the personalist and the impersonalist will fight with one another perpetually, a perfect devotee in Krishna consciousness knows that although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is all-pervading, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Although his personal abode is Goloka Vrindavan, and he is always staying there by his different manifestations of energy and by his plenary expansions, he is present everywhere in all parts of the material and spiritual creation.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Dharakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vitantam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Krishna padan sahagana ladita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, is it possible for a frog living in a well to understand the ocean? There was one frog, Dr. Frog, PhD. And he was living in a well. And he was very proud of his well. He had many students also, PhDs, you know, they have students. So he trained all of his students that Dr. Frog's well is the biggest body of water in the whole world.
Dr. Vardes aqua ir lielākais ūdens daudzums pasaulē.
So one day one of his students, little Freddy Frog, he went hopping off to explore what was there in the other parts of the world, you see.
Aizdais prom no tās akas, lai izpētītu, kas tad notiek citā pasaulē.
So he was hopping, hopping, hopping. He hopped all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. And he couldn't believe it when he looked at the Atlantic Ocean. Because he had been taught that Dr. Frog's well was the biggest body of water in the whole world.
He
couldn't believe it, this huge body of water. So, after spending some time looking at that huge Atlantic Ocean, he became very excited that now I must hop back to Dr. Frog's well and give him the good news, what I have discovered. So little Freddy was hopping back, hopping, very excitedly hopping back to Dr. Frog's well. And finally he got there, he said, Dr. Frog, amazing, most amazing thing I've discovered. Doctor said, Rivet.
Doctor Svarde, no kurkstei.
What have you discovered?
What have you discovered?
He said, Dr. Frog, there's a body of water much bigger than your well.
Doctor Svarde, es atklāju, ka ir ūdens tilpni, kas daudz lielāk par jūsu aku.
Doctor Frog said, impossible.
Doctor Svarde teica, tas ir neiespējami.
You're crazy.
Tu esi praks.
My body of water is the biggest body of water in the whole world. There's no body of water as big as my well. But he said, no, Dr. Frog, I've been there, I've seen it. I can prove it to you. Come on, you hop with me. And I will show you that Atlantic Ocean. Ribbit. Dr. Frog was rather skeptical, you see.
But Dr. Svarge bija diezgan skeptisks.
He was one of those speculators, you see.
Viņš bija viens no tiem, kas ir pratotāji.
So anyway, finally little Freddy convinced him.
Un galu galā mazais Freddy's pārliecināja.
Dr. Frog, it's much bigger than your well. Then Dr. Frog said, well, okay. He said, is it this much bigger than my well?
vai tas ir tik lielāks nekā un uzpūti savu par tik par cik lielāks un uzpūti savu vēderu.
You seen how the frogs can puff out their chest? He says that this is much bigger than my well. Little Freddy said, "No, Dr. Frog, it's much bigger than that." Dr. Frog went, "Hmm, well, is it this much bigger?" No, Dr. Frog, it's so big you can float a ship in it. It's huge, Dr. Frog. Dr. Frog went, "Well, is this much bigger?" He said, "No, Dr. Frog, it's hundreds and thousands of times bigger than that." And Dr. Frog, "Well, is it this much bigger?" He puffed him up, he puffed himself up so much his chest exploded and he died in his well. So these mental speculators, they are like Dr. Frog. When you tell them about Krishna, that he can be everywhere and be in one place at the same time, I say, "No, that is not possible." He cannot be bigger than, greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest at the same time. No person can do that. In this way, they're just a foolish speculator like Dr. Freud. They do not understand what is the meaning of omnipotency. This is one of the qualities of God. He is omnipotent. He possesses unlimited potencies. That means he can do anything conceivable or inconceivable. The impersonalists say, because God is everywhere, he cannot be localized. But if the sun can be in one place and at the same time by its energy be everywhere, why can't Krishna do that? The sun is in one place and everywhere at the same time? The sun is in one place, and by its shine it is everywhere at the same time. So was the sun greater than God? How could that be? The sun is the energy of God. Whatever the sun can do, God can do much more. Therefore, God can easily be in one place and at the same time be everywhere. So that is a fact. He is in Goloka Vrindavan enjoying his intimate pastimes with his confidential associates. And at the same time, he is expanded as Paramatma. In the heart of every living entity. Not only that, he is within every atom also. He is between the atoms also. You will not find any place where the super soul is not present. He is omnipresent. So when these Dr. Frogs can't believe that Krishna has such power and potency, we do not take them seriously. They are simply condemning themselves to die in their will, that's all.
Viņi ir vienkārši nolēmuši sevi nomirt šajā pasaulē, tas arī ir viss.
They're very attached to their well. My body, my wife, my house, my bank balance, my PhD degree.
Viņi vienkārši par katrs piesaistījies katrs kādam no skādiem no savām akām. Mans ķermenis, mana slava vai mans doktora grāds, mana ģimene.
They're so attached to these things.
Viņi ļoti pieķeršies šīm lietām.
Just like that Dr. Frog, he's so attached to his stupid little well.
Tāpat kā šis doktors Vārde, kurš bija tik muļķīgi pieķeries mazajai akai.
He's denying himself the experience of the Atlantic Ocean.
Un viņš noliedza Atlantijas okeāna šo te pieredzi.
Even though he was informed about it, he still couldn't believe it.
Un lai gan viņam pastāstīja par to, informēja, viņš vienalga to noliedz.
So even though we tell these fools about Krishna,
pat ja mēs sakām šiem muļķiem par Krishna,
what does Krishna say? Avajā nanti mang mudha. These fools deride me. They criticize. Avajā nanti means they criticize. Mam mudha. The mudha has criticized me. That's what Krishna is saying directly. Now sometimes people are uptight with the Hare Krishna people. They're uptight, you know. Uptight means they're disturbed by the Hare Krishna people. Because we say that people who don't accept Krishna are fools. They're fools. But actually, we are not saying that. They can't criticize us. We don't say that they're fools.
Viņi nevar kritizēt mūs, mēs to nesakām, ka viņi ir muļķi.
Krishna says that they are fools.
Krishna saka, ka viņi ir.
We are not saying.
Mēs nesam.
Who are we? We don't know anything.
Mēs neko nezinām.
We're just conditioned souls.
Mēs vienkārši esam saistīti.
We are simply repeating what Krishna says, that's all.
Mēs vienkārši atkārtojam, ko Krishna saka.
So they are disturbed to hear that someone is a fool for not accepting Krishna. They have to get angry at Krishna, not at us.
Viņi kļūst satraukti par to, ja viņi dzird, ka tas ir muļķis, kurš nepieņem Krishna, bet viņi smojas uz Krishna, ne uz mums.
It's Krishna who is making the accusation, not us.
Tas ir Krishna, kas izvier šādu apsūdzību, ne mēs.
Just like some murderer, he is found guilty by the judge of being a murderer.
Tā kā, piemēram, es slepkavu, tiek atzīt, ka kāds cilvēks ir vainīgs slepkavībā, un to tiesnesis pasaka.
The newspaper reporter, he will write a front page headline, so-and-so is a murderer.
Un tā žurnālists pirmajā lapā uzliek rakstam virsrakstu, tāds un tāds ir slepkavs.
So the reporter declared him to be a murderer?
Vai tad šis žurnālists ir paziņojis, ka viņš ir slepkavs?
No. The reporter is simply reporting the verdict of the judge. That's all.
Žurnālists vienkārši pastāsta, kāds ir tiesneša lēmums.
So we don't say that they're fools.
Mēs nesakām, ka viņi ir muļi.
We're just the reporters.
Mēs esam vienkārši kā žurnālisti.
Krishna says they are fools.
Krishna saka, viņi ir muļi.
And we are repeating that so.
Un mēs to atkārtojam.
We are Krishna's messengers. We are Krishna's messengers.
Mēs esam Krishna's ziņaši.
So, we are giving this message. That those who do not accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, they are fools. They are simply Dr. Frogs. We don't think we're superior to them, no. We consider that we are their humble servants.
Mēs uzskatām, ka mēs esam pazemīgi viņu kalpi.
To try to help them, just as we have been helped by Prabhupada and the devotees.
Vēlamies palīdzēt viņiem tāpat, kā mums ir palīdzējis Prabhupada un Bhaktas.
We have been saved from our misery.
Un mēs vēlamies glābt viņus no viņu ciešanām.
So, in the same way, we want to save them.
Tāpat kā mums ir glābuši no ciešanām, mēs vēlamies glābt viņus.
That is our desire. We do not want to see people suffering in this ignorance.
Tā ir mūsu vēle. Mēs nevēlamies redzēt, kā cilvēki cieš savas neziņas dēļ.
Being attached to a condition of life which brings unlimited misery.
ka viņi ir pieķērušies šiem dzīves dažādiem ierobežojumiem, nosacījumiem, kas nes tikai ciešanas.
When one can instead taste unlimited happiness.
Tā vietā, lai ka cilvēks var baudīt bezgalīgu laimi.
So that is our desire in this Krishna consciousness movement.
Un tā ir mūsu vēle no Krishnas apziņas.
Just as we have been blessed with bliss.
Tāpat kā mēs esam svētīti ar svētlaimi.
We want to see that the whole world becomes blessed with this.
Mēs vēlamies redzēt, ka visa pasaule tiek svētīta.
So, now I can ask if there's any questions.
Tagad es jautāju, vai ir jautājumi.
Yeah.
Mans jautājums ir, vai tad, kad mēs sakām cilvēkiem, piemēram, ka ja mēs sakām, ka tas, kurš nepieņem Krišnu kā Dieva augstāko personību, tas ir muļķis. Vai cilvēki apvainojas par šiem vārdiem, vai par to attieksmi, kādu mēs to sakām?
When we repeat these words of Krishna, saying that one who doesn't accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, one feels offended that one is fool, not accepting Krishna as a God, and if one feels offended by these words, is he offended by these words or by attitude we are saying these words?
That depends.
Tas ir atkarīgs no tā.
Depends on how you're saying it.
Jā, tas ir atkarīgs no tā, kā jūs to pasakāt.
Prabhupāda could tell a scientist that he was a rascal, and Prabhupāda said, yes, you're right, Swami.
Prabhupāda varēja pateikt zinātniekam, ka viņš ir nejēga. Zinātnieks teica, varēja atdod, jā, viņš ir taisnīgs.
He would not be offended, you see.
Un viņš nejūtās apvainojis.
So it depends on you, the preacher.
Tas ir atkarīgs no sludinātāja.
We don't advise you to go around telling everybody they're a fool. That, you know, it's not the proper way to preach. Our method is you flatter them 100 times, tell them how great they are. My dear sir, you are so full of, you are an ocean of good qualities, my dear sir.
Dārgais kungs, jūs esat labu kvalitāšu okeāns.
You have the most respectable heritage.
Jums ir viscienīgākais mantojums.
You have the finest tastes.
Jums ir vislabākā gaume.
You're a very respected man here in Riga.
Jūs esat ļoti cienījams cilvēks šeit Rīgā.
I give him all honor and respect.
Mēs dodam visu cieņu un respektu Izrādam.
Give him, Prabhupada Sarasvati says, you give him honor and respect 100 times. You get Prabhadananda Sarasvati Thakur, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya.
Prabhadananda Sarasvati Thakur states that you give him 100 reizes izrādīt cieņu.
He says you flatter him 100 times.
Jūs dvaimojat viņam 100 reizes.
And then you ask him, my dear sir, now may I give to you some confidential knowledge?
Un tad jūs viņam jautājat, dārgais kungs, vai es drīkstu jums tagad uzticēt konfidenciālu zināšanas.
With your permission, can I reveal to you some confidential knowledge?
Ar jūsu atļauju, vai es drīkstu jums uzticēt?
Then he says, yes, all right, let me hear. I'm curious what is this confidential knowledge you have to tell me.
Jā. Šis cilvēks atbildēs, es esmu interesēts dzirdēt, kas tas par zināšanām.
And you can tell him, if you do not accept you can tell him about Krishna. Don't tell him he's a fool for not accepting Krishna. Just then you tell him all about Krishna. How wonderful is Krishna? How Krishna is full of all power. All beauty. All renunciation. All knowledge. All wealth. And all fame. You just glorify Krishna, you see. Then he says, oh, well, I can't accept that, you see. Then you show him, if he can't accept that, then you show to him how his not accepting Krishna is a foolish thing. In this way. You have to present these things in such a way that people like to hear it. That's the point.
Jums ir tas jāsludina, jāprezentē šīs lietas tādā veidā, lai cilvēkiem ir patīkami tās uzklausīt.
How will someone agree to hear from you, you see?
Kādā veidā gan cilvēks piekrīt kaut ko klausīties no jums?
You have to show that person that you truly care about them, you truly love them.
Jums ir jāparāda šim cilvēkam, ka jūs patiesi rūpēties un mīlat viņu.
To where they will trust you.
Veidā, ka viņš var uzticēties jums.
And put faith in what you tell them.
Ar uzticību klausīties to, ko jūs viņam sakāt.
To just go around telling people they are fools and rascals, that will simply irritate people. That is nonsense. One should not preach like that.
Staigāt apkārt un stāstīt, ka cilvēki ir muļķi un nejēgas, tas nav pareizs veids, kā tā sludināt. Tas tikai satrauks cilvēkus.
Rather, one should present in a very attractive way.
Tā vietā ir jāsludina ļoti pievilcīgi.
So when people realize I was a fool not to accept Krishna,
tad cilvēks saprot, ka es biju muļķis nepieņemot Krishna.
They will feel happy to realize they were a fool, you see. So if you preach in such a way that people are offended by your preaching, if you preach in such a way that people are offended by your preaching, then your preaching is offensive. That's the ninth offense against the holy name. We have to preach in such a way that people will be very attracted to hear from us. They have full faith in us that we are their genuine friends and well-wishers. And then when we show them how by not accepting Krishna they are a fool, they will actually appreciate that wisdom.
Ka nepieņemot Krishna, cilvēks ir vienkārši muļķis, tad viņš pieņems šo te gudrību.
So did that make it clear?
Yeah, means conclusion in is but that is my conclusion correct that if one feels offended because of our preaching, it's our fault.
Yes, if we are not preaching in a proper way, then it's our fault, that's right.
Nē, es teicu, ka secinājums ir, ka ja kāds jūtās aizvainots no tā, ko viņam, mēs viņam sakam, tad tas mums jāuzskata, tā ir mūsu vaina. Kāpēc tad jā, ja mēs nepareizi sludinām, tad tā ir mūsu vaina.
Just like a brain surgeon, he has to be very expert how to operate in the brain, otherwise he can turn the person into a vegetable, you see.
Tā kā cilvēks, kas operē, cilvēkam ķirurgs smadzenes, kas operē, viņam jābūt ļoti precīzam, jo viena nepareiza kustība un cilvēks pārvēršas par dārziņu.
So a preacher has to be more expert than a brain surgeon.
Un sludinātājiem ir jābūt vēl prasmīgākam nekā šis te neiroķirurgs.
One has to become very expert.
Viņam jābūt ļoti prasmīgākam.
If you want to teach someone how to become a pure devotee, it requires very expert preaching.
Jūs vēlties iemācīt kādam, lai kādu ļoti patīru vaktu, jums ir jābūt ļoti meistarīgam sudinātājiem.
Next question.
Kāda ir jābūt attieksmē pret grāmatām, ko uzrakstījuši ir Ačārī pirms Šrīlas Prabhupādas? Ir jālas šīs grāmatas vai jākoncentrējas uz Šrīlas Prabhupādas grāmatām.
What should be our, how should we treat books written by previous acharyas? Should we read them or should we concentrate our attention on the books written by
Have you read of all? Have you read all of Srila Prabhupada's books cover to cover very carefully?
Jūs izlasījis visas grāmatas Šrīlas Prabhupādas no vārda līdz vārtam uzmanīgi?
Don't touch the other books.
Tad neaiztieciet citas grāmatas.
First, you read Prabhupada's books very carefully and thoroughly, cover to cover. Just like in school, when I was in high school, we had six classes every day. Six classes. And then there were optional activities after the school hours. You could also do, they are called extracurricular activities.
Un tad pēc skolas bija papildus dodarbības, kas bija brīvprātīgi, ko varēja apmeklēt.
You don't get any credit for them, you don't get graded on, they're just extracurricular activities.
Un jūs nesaņemat nekādas atzīmes, tas nekādu neatspoguļojās jūsu galva mācību dokumentos.
So if the student is able to do all of his assigned readings and all of his assigned papers and do well on the exams for his regular courses, then he can also add some extracurricular activities to his portfolio.
Un ja students varēja veikt visu tas, kas viņam tika, kas no viņa tika sagaidīts, veikt visus tos mācību darbus, tad viņš varēja arī būt papildus mācības apmeklēt no šim te
But if he gives more importance to the extracurricular activities and neglects his normal classes, then he will fail.
Bet ja cilvēks pārāk padara par galvenajām šīs te papildu nodarbības, bet aizmirst pamat stundas, tad viņš izgāžās pēc tam eksāmeniem.
So our curriculum is Prabhupada's books.
Un tātad tas mūsu mācības
actually, everything we need is in Prabhupada's books.
Ir Prabhupada's grāmatas.
We don't need any other books, actually. But other books can be accepted if after we've thoroughly studied
Prabhupada's.
If by that reading we can increase our appreciation of Prabhupada's books.
Un tad, tad senāks tā, kad lasot šīs papildus grāmatas, mēs papildus spēsim labāk, vēl vairāk novērtēt Prabhupada's grāmatas.
But we can only properly understand the other books through Prabhupada's books.
Jo tās citas grāmatas mēs pareizi varēsim saprast tikai caur Prabhupada's grāmatām.
Don't think you can go jumping to the previous acharyas and come up with a different conclusion than what Prabhupada has presented in his book.
Nedomājiet, ka jūs varēsiet palasīt citu iepriekšējo acharya grāmatas un nonākt pie citas secinājuma nekā lasot Prabhupada's grāmatas.
That has happened in ISKCON.
Tas ir noticis ISKCON.
Devotees study a little Sanskrit and they read some of the previous acharyas and they think, oh, Prabhupada was wrong.
Piemēram, cilvēks nedaudz pastudē sanskritu, sāk lasīt iepriekš acharya grāmatas un nonāk pie secinājuma, ka Prabhupāda nebija taisnība.
That's craziness.
Tas ir neprāts.
You see, the best thing is stick to Prabhupāda's books.
Vislabākais ir turēties pie Prabhupāda's grāmatas.
Understand everything through Prabhupāda's books.
Un saprast visu.
And after you've thoroughly studied all of Prabhupāda's books cover to cover,
un tā jums ir no bāka līdz bākam visas Prabhupāda's grāmatas jāizstudē.
Then you can get Then take permission from a senior devotee if you want to read some other books. It's extracurricular. You don't really need it. Some devotees, they wanted to study the Manu Samhita, and they asked Prabhupada about them. Prabhupada said, you cannot touch Manu Samhita. He said, according to Manu Samhita, you are all mlechas. You cannot touch Manu Samhita. And he said, it's not recommended to go here and there reading all these books. It's not recommended. We see devotees, they get very confused and bewildered. They don't understand anything. They get all bewildered, reading here, reading there, reading everywhere, but never understanding Prabhupada's purport. Any other question?
Kāda ir atbildība, kāda ir sludinātāja atbildība par tiem cilvēkiem, kurus viņš atved uz šo kustību, līdz kuram brīdim ir šī atbildība? To what degree a preacher is responsible for those whom he brings to this movement?
Is he?
Now, to what degree, to what moment?
100%. You're totally responsible for everyone you bring to this movement. See that they go back to Godhead.
Jūs esat 100% atbildīgi par to, redzēt, cik tā, lai viņi atgriežas atpakaļ pie Dieva, par tiem, ko jūs esat atveduši uz kustību.
Any other question?
Vēl jautājumi?
Это мое дело. А как быть тогда такой ситуации?
Tad es reiz man izdevās atvest vīru uz šeit uz templi, un es sakoju reiz, kur lasītam, neatceros kur, bet Krišna saka, tu viņu atved tālāk, es par viņu parūpēšos. Kā tad ir? Once I brought my husband to the temple, because I read that, I don't remember where, but Krishna says that you just bring him to me and I'll take care after that. So then it seems to be a contradiction, so regarding responsibility. Because first question was to what degree, how far one is responsible. If a preacher brings someone to the temple.
She said bring someone to Krishna consciousness. That's different than bringing somebody to the temple.
To the movement, she said, to the movement, yeah.
If you actually bring someone and convince them to join this movement, then you should take full responsibility for their becoming Krishna conscious.
Tātad ir atšķirība, tātad par ko mēs runājam, atvest uz templi vai atvest uz Krišnas apziņu. Tas, kurš atved kādu uz Krišnas apziņu, uz Krišnas apziņas kustību, ir pilnībā atbildīgs par šo cilvēku.
But if you bring somebody to the temple and they don't want to come back again, what you can do?
Bet ja jūs kādu atvedat uz templi un viņš nevēlas vairāk atgriezties šeit, nu ko jūs vēl varat izdarīt?
Here's what you can do, prasādam.
Ko jūs varat darīt, prasādam?
You have to load him up with prasādam. The nicest prasadam. It is said that cooking is the way to a man's heart. So you must capture that man by prasadam. Next question. Everybody's totally satisfied now. Ready to preach. To show everybody it's foolish not to accept Krishna in such a way that they like it. That requires expertise. To show people they are wrong in such a way that they say, oh, thank you for showing that.
Lai pateikt cilvēkiem, ka viņi rīkojas nepareizi tādā veidā, lai viņi beigās pateikt paldies.
Nobody likes to be corrected.
Nevienam nepatīk, ka viņi labo.
So to show someone they're wrong in such a way that they're happy to hear that they're wrong, that requires a lot of compassion and a lot of expertise.
Bet to izdarīt tādā veidā, ka galvā viņi ir laimīgi uzdzirdēt to, ka viņi nav, ka viņi kļūdās, tas prasa līdzjūtību un prasa.
So how do you develop compassion and expertise?
Kā jūs attīstat šo te prasmi un šo līdzjūtību un meistarību?
Compassion is developed by loving. The more you can have loving exchanges with Vaishnavas.
Līdzjūtība attīstās ar vien vairāk, jo vairāk jums ir mīlestības pilns apmaiņa ar Vaishnaviem.
And the more you can offer respect to all living entities, as Prabhupada is saying in this purport.
Un jo vairāk jūs cienat visas dzīvās būtnes, par ko Prabhupada saka šajā te komentārā.
A devotee should see that because Krishna is present in everyone's heart is the Paramatma, everybody is the embodiment of the temple of the Supreme Lord. So everybody likes coming to the temple, right? Well, there's so many walking temples up and down the street here in Riga, you see. These are all temples of Krishna, walking up and down the street. You see, the Sankirtan devotees, book distributors, they've learned how to find the temple in everyone's heart. But these are all temples. So, they're walking temples of Krishna. So we have to learn how to respect every living being as one who is holding Krishna within his heart. The neophyte devotee, he only finds Krishna in the temple. But when you become advanced, you experience Krishna within everyone.
Bet tad, kad jūs attīstāties, tad jūs redzat Krishna katrā.
You see. the advanced devotee, he can convince them they are a fool and they will appreciate it.
He
can convince people they are fools and they will appreciate it. Because it is done with love and respect, just like a doctor. It's not done out of pride that I am great and you are dirt. No. It's done in a mood of humble service to that fallen jiva. So, are there any other questions? Yeah.
Could you kindly clarify how the difference to bring to the movement and to bring to the temple? So, when can one say that I brought that person to the movement? Who is the one who can decide it? How to understand that properly?
Where do we draw the line between bringing somebody to the temple and bringing him to the movement?
Jā, kur tad novilkt šo līniju, ka es esmu atvedis cilvēku uz kustību vai atvedis uz templu?
If I bring him to the temple, but they don't ever come back again, I didn't bring him to the movement. But if I bring them to the temple and they want to join the movement, because of my preaching, they decide to join the movement, then I have brought them to the movement. What is the difficulty to understand? It's clear?
It is
completely clear.
Question of responsibility. Let's say that the person sometime later he gets initiation and says, what is then my responsibility?
It is called Vartma Pradarshaka Guru. The one who brings you to the movement, he is your Vartma Pradarshaka Guru.
Un tas, kurš atved cilvēku uz kustību, ir Vārtma Pratakšika guru. Mans jautājums ir par atbildību. Kāda ir viņa atbildība?
So let's say somebody here in Riga convinces somebody else to join the movement. They get initiated by some guru who comes here once a year.
Piemēram, kāds pārliecina kādu pievienoti, atnāk šeit uz templu, pievienoties kustībēm. Pēc laika šis cilvēks izvēlās guru, kas apmeklē Rīgu, piemēram, reizi gadā.
And the person who made them a devotee, who's here, sees that they're falling in a maya. They think, well, they're not my duty now, they're initiated. The guru has taken responsibility to deliver them, so therefore I have no more responsibility. But the Vartma Pradarshika Guru has the duty of assisting the Diksha Guru in delivering that person.
But Vartma Pradarshika Guru pienākums ir asistēt Diksha Guru tajā procesā.
So he cannot, the Vartma Pradarshika Guru who brought into the movement, he also has to remain responsible, make sure that person is properly situated.
Tāpēc Vartma Pradarshika Guru viņam paliek šī te atbildība uzraudzīt šo te baktu, lai šis bakta paliek Krishna apziņas kustībā.
Just like a parent raises their child in Krishna consciousness.
Tas tāpat kā, piemēram, vecākas uzraudzīt bērnu Krishna apziņā.
And the child takes initiation.
Un tad bērns pieņem iniciāciju.
That means the parent is no longer responsible to help that child to be Krishna conscious?
Bet tas nozīmē, ka vecākiem vairs nav nekādas atbildības, lai palīdzētu šiem bērnu nostiprināties Krishna apziņā.
Bhagavatam says the guru is responsible, the parents are responsible, the leaders are responsible, that means the temple president is responsible.
Bhagavatam saka, ka ir vecāki, guru, temple president.
GBC is responsible.
GBC.
The Sankirtan leader is responsible.
Sankirtan vadītāji.
The head pujari is responsible. Prabhupada even said the friend is responsible. If you make friends with another devotee and they fall into Maya, it's your duty to help save them. We should take responsibility to help everyone become Krishna conscious. Anything else?
If a person goes away from this movement, a person I brought to
like
this movement,
mind,
yeah, yeah. So does it mean that I will go to hell or something like that?
No.
Jautājums ir, vai, ja cilvēks, ko es atveicu, pēc tam aiziet no šīs kustības, bet nozīmē, ka es...
No, you will get credit for what you did to bring in this movement.
Nē, bet jūs saņemat atzinību par to, ko jūs esat izdarījusi, lai viņu atrastu šeit.
That is your eternal asset.
Un tas ir jūsu mūžīgais resurs.
They go away and they're not willing to hear it from you. What can you do? It's not you're not responsible.
Ja viņi aiziet un nevēlās jūs uzklausīt, ko jūs varat izdarīt.
Even the spiritual master initiates someone. If they tell me to neglect Guru's orders, he's not implicated by their sinful reactions. He's only responsible for those disciples who are trying to become Krishna conscious.
Guru ir atbildīgs tikai par tiem mācekļiem, kas cenšas nostiprināties Krišnas apziņā.
Any other questions? Everyone's satisfied now? Ready to practice pure bhakti? Everyone ready to become pure devotees? Prabhupada says, unless you're a pure devotee, you can't go back to Godhead. So if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to desire to become a pure devotee and try to become a pure devotee. Prabhupada says it in the purport, Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, text number
18. 5:18.
You have to be a pure devotee to go back to Godhead.
Jums ir jābūt tīram bhaktam, lai atgrieztos atpakaļ pie Dieva.
So let's be serious about pure devotional service.
Tāpēc nopietni izturēsimies pret tīru garīgo kalpošanu.
So we can all go back to Godhead together.
Lai mēs visi kopā atgrieztos.
And we can have wonderful kirtans together in Goloka Vrindavan.
Lai mums kopā tur būtu lieliski kirtani.
You think the kirtans are sweet here in Riga?
Jūs domājat, ka šeit ir saldi žilti kirtani?
Just wait till you taste those kirtans in Goloka. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srimad Sankarsana Dasa Tikari Maharaj ki
jai.